Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk this morning about the day the manna stopped. And the purpose of this message is to help you see there is a place in God that you can go. Maybe you haven't been there, but you need to be there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The day the manna stopped. And we're going to read a scripture this morning from the book of Joshua, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. Joshua, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I'll give you a moment to find it, those of you that are looking. Joshua 5, verse 11 says, "And they ate of the produce of the land." Remember, God promised to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen? That's a land of abundance. How many of you know that God is a God of abundance? Amen? When He does something, He abundantly does it. "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Amen. He's a God of abundance. So He promised they would come into a land flowing with milk and honey. They would come into a land of abundance. So they ate the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. After they came into the land, after they were able to eat of the milk and honey and the produce, what the land was producing, once they were able to do that, the very next day, the manna stopped. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The manna stopped. 40 years. 6 days a week, there was angel food on the ground. Every morning, they would go out and pick it up. God miraculously fed the children of Israel for 40 years through that wilderness. But when they walked into that land of promise, that miracle stopped. That miracle stopped. And there's a reason for that, and I want you to see it. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for being here with us today. We have sensed your presence, Lord, through this worship. And I know, God, that you're speaking to our hearts. And I just thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God is trying to bring all of us into a land of promise. God is trying to bring all of us into a land of abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey. And once God brings you into that place of abundance, you have come into a place of blessing. And when you start walking into a place of blessings with God, where He is providing, you no longer need all the miracles. Now, stay with me this morning, because I'm not against miracles. I believe in miracles. I'm for miracles. I pray for them all the time because we need them. But once you come into a place with God, there's a place you can come into where you're not so much needing the miracle all the time. The miracle of the manna stopped because God expected them to live off the abundance of the land that He had given them. When they were in the wilderness, they were in the wilderness, barren. They needed miracles, right? They needed miracles every day. But once God brought them into a land of plenty, God expected them to work. God expected them to provide. God expected them to take advantage of the abundance that He had given them. God expected them to walk in the blessings that He had given them. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a place in God where you can walk blessed. And when you walk blessed, you're not always in need. You're not always at the altar. You're not always just needing, needing, needing. You've learned to walk in a place of blessing. Amen? There's a powerful truth here. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't need miracles from time to time. That doesn't mean you won't. What are miracles? Miracles are God's supernatural intervention into the natural. It is a reversal or a change, God interfering with the natural order and the natural flow of things. The Bible says that God has set a world in motion that is designed to provide for us and bless us. And God wants you to be blessed. Amen? God wants you to be blessed. And God wants us to learn that He has provided in the world provision for us to learn to walk in. But even in the land of Canaan, there were miracles. Once they got in the land, it didn't mean that God didn't have to intervene from time to time, because He did. And the reason He did is because there's a big bad devil out there who's trying to interfere with you. And when the enemy comes in, he breaks the natural order of things and tries to deprive you and rob you and steal from you, because that's what the Bible says he comes to do, kill and steal and destroy. And he tries to take from you what is rightfully yours. And so the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. So there are times when the enemy comes against me, I'm living my life, I'm working my job, I'm doing the things that I should do, and God is providing. But then the enemy comes in and tries to steal with sickness or loss of a job or some other problem. The enemy comes in. The Bible says that when that happens, God raises up a standard. God gets involved in the natural order, and then that's when miracles happen. Miracles happen when God is pushing back the work of the enemy. I'll give you an example. The Bible says that the children of Israel were raising lentils. They were raising peas. And they had these pea patches, and they were full of lentils. And every year at harvest time, the Philistines, their enemy, would come riding in just as the peas were hanging all over the plants, and there were pea pods everywhere, and they were full and abundant and just about ready to pick. And here would come the Philistines riding up on their horses with their shields and their swords, and they would drive the Israelites off because they were a warmongering people. And the Israelites just couldn't fight them. And they would run away. And the Philistines would laugh, and then they would pick their peas. And they would fill up bushel baskets of peas, and they would laugh, and they would go back, and they would feed them. And this happened year after year after year, and the Israelites were left with what was left over. And the enemy would come and rob and would steal. And one year they were in the pea patch, and it was ready for harvest, and suddenly they heard the hoofbeats and the horses coming in, and they looked and they could see the dust of the Philistine armies in the distance rolling in on them, and everybody took off and started running except one man by the name of Shammah. And Shammah just stood there, and somebody probably stopped and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm standing here." And they said, "What do you mean? Are you out of your mind? If you stand here, you're going to die." He said, "I'm not going anywhere. I am tired of the enemy coming in here and taking from me what belongs to me, and I'm standing my ground." And he said, "Y'all can leave if you want to, but I've left this pea patch my last time. I'm standing right here." And when the Philistines rode in with their horses, smoke was flying, dust was flying, pea pods were flying. There was stuff going every which way. But when the smoke cleared, the Philistines were gone, and Shammah was standing there with a sword in his hand, and he drove off all the enemy by himself, but not by himself, because God showed up and interfered and intervened. Amen? So you can count on God to come in those times when we need Him. But you also need to understand that you are a blessed people. We look at our next scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at this. Who has blessed us? Amen? Do you see that? Who has blessed us? Say, "I'm already blessed." Amen. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing not with some spiritual blessings, not with a few spiritual blessings, but all spiritual blessings. You've been blessed. Say, I've been blessed. God's already done it. God has blessed you. And he's pouring out on you. Yes, there are times the enemy shows up and tries to rob and steal. God will take care of that. If you trust him to take care of it, God will take care of it. But otherwise, we are supposed to live a blessed life knowing that God is providing for us and that God's taking care of us. When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, don't you see this? When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, I think Peter was at the end of the row. You know, that's how I see it in my mind anyway. And Jesus was coming down the line and he was washing their feet. And this really bothered old Simon Peter. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the Messiah. He was the Lord. And he had no business washing their old dirty, rotten feet. And he just said, it was like, I just can't believe. Look at Matthew just standing there, sitting there grinning, letting Jesus wash his feet. Look at him. Look at Andrew. He's enjoying it. You know, it shouldn't be that way. And he just coming, Jesus coming on down. And Peter said, you know what? When he gets to me, I'm not going to let him wash my feet. I'm going to do this the right way. And he got there and Peter jumped up and said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And what Jesus was trying to teach Peter, because he said, Peter was like, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, don't you know? And when he said to Peter, he said, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no part of me. And this is what Peter said. Well, then if that's the case, give me a bath. Wash all of me. Wash all of me because I want as much of you as I can get. Wash all of me. And listen to this. Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, you don't need me to give you a bath. You don't need me to wash all of you. Listen to what he said, because you're clean every whit. You're clean all over. What was he telling him? Peter, I've already done that. I've already done that. I've already done that. The work is accomplished. Your feet get dirty and I need to wash your feet. And sometimes in our walk of life, we need Jesus to wash our feet. But he's done the work of salvation in your life. Folks, you don't have to get saved every day. It's done. You've got to accept it and walk in the blessings that he has given you. Learning to walk in blessings, let me show you this, will prevent crisis in your life. Miracles deliver us out of crisis. Isn't that right? Miracles are for when we have problems. Miracles are for when we have a crisis in our life and we need a miracle. God, how many times have we all gone to the Lord and said, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. But we can avoid problems by living in blessings rather than constantly being delivered out of problems. Let me ask you, which way would you rather live? Would you rather live a life of blessings, avoiding problems, or constantly having problems and needing miracles all the time? Amen? The blessed life. We'd rather walk in a blessed life rather than constantly having to need. Because when we're living from miracle to miracle, we're living from need to need. All the time in need of a miracle, all the time in need. And the good news, God, there's good news here. God is a merciful God. When we're needy and when we're broken and we have needs, he's there for you. How many times has God bailed us out? How many times has God been there for us? Over and over and over and over again. Sometimes when we're coming back to God with the same habit, with the same need, with the same problem, and you would think God would get tired of you after a while. Amen? You would think after a while God would say, you know, this is the 30,000th time you've come to an altar for this same thing, and I'm getting a little tired of it. I have healed and I have healed and I've sent miracle after miracle, and you keep coming and you keep coming. But the good news is he's a merciful God. The good news is his mercies are new every morning. The good news is his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. That's good news. But there's bigger news. There's greater news. That you can reach a place in God where He's done that work in you, and you don't have to just keep coming all the time, living from miracle to miracle. But that you've learned to walk in a place where it's not crisis all the time. Amen? The other thing about living the blessed life, because God stopped the manna. God stopped the manna because they now had plenty. And God was like, you don't need me to do that miracle for you every day anymore. Did y'all hear that? You don't need me to do that miracle for you. Look around you. I've put you in a blessed situation. You're blessed now. Folks, there's a place in God we can enter into where we're not receiving miracle, 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 because He's giving us the blessed life. Living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, would you rather get sick and have a miracle or not get sick at all? I'd rather not get sick at all. I'm thankful, amen? I'm thankful for the miracle of healing, but I'd rather not get sick at all. I'd rather walk blessed. I'd rather walk blessed. And that's an important truth. The other thing about miracles is miracles are temporary. The manna had to fall every day. It had to come every day. It wasn't a permanent fix. It was something that daily had to happen. And when you're living from miracle to miracle, when you're living from crisis to crisis, when you're living from need to need, it's you're constantly, constantly, constantly. God's, and don't miss, please don't misunderstand what I'm telling you. God loves you. And He's patient with you. And He's long-suffering. And many of you know from having come and come and come that God was always there for you. But God also wants you to learn there is a land you can enter into that's flowing with milk and honey, and that it's a place of blessing that you can walk with God, and you don't have to have that temporary fix. You see, if man had never fallen... Let me show you something. If man had never fallen, there would have never been a need for a miracle. We wouldn't need them. But sin entered into creation. Everything got messed up. So God had to enter. What are miracles? God intervening. But if that never would have happened, we would have walked blessed. Would have never got sick. Would have never died. Would have never had a problem. So there is a place, if you abuse your body and get sick, God in His mercy will heal you. But if you don't change those habits, you're going to get sick again. Did y'all hear what I said? You're going to get sick again. You know why you're going to get sick again? Miracles are temporary. They're not a permanent fix. And you don't take care of yourself and walk in obedience with God, and I'm preaching myself right now, because I'm trying to learn, how to walk in obedience to take care of myself so I don't go through what I went through again, because I don't want that. But if we're not obedient, then we wind up in the same place. Now, you don't have to raise your hand to this, and I'm not just talking about our physical health, our eating habits. I'm just talking about all our habits in our life in general. How many of us have found ourselves over and over and over again in that same place? And we keep coming back. God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I need another miracle. And God loves you so much, He just keeps... But God is telling you, I got something better. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live from crisis to crisis. You don't have to live from need to need. You can come into a place where the manna stops. Now, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a mature place in God. I'm talking about a deep place in God that believers can learn to walk in, where they trust God that I'm living in that place of blessing. Let's look at our next verse, Numbers 23:20. This comes from, because I want you to see this about the blessing, and I'm almost done this morning. Once God gives you that blessing, it's yours. The enemy will try to steal it. Here's a word for somebody this morning. I feel the Lord saying, some of you are at the gate. God has brought you to the gate, and you are about to go in. And you've been trying to go in. You've been trying to get to this place I'm talking about, and you're sitting there thinking about it. The Lord says to you, you're at the gate. But that's the reason the battle is so strong, is because the battle is strongest at the gate. Because the enemy knows once you get through that gate, once you get through that doorway, you're on the other side and you're in that place of blessing. And he does not want to let go of you, and he does not want you to get into that place of blessing, and he does not want you to go through that door, and he does not want you to go through that gate. And there are some of you that he's fighting really hard right now because you're right there at the gate and you just can't seem to get in. It's like, I can't get in. It's because the enemy is fighting you so hard, because you're right there. I have told people, and I'm speaking personally to some people this morning. When you decide in your heart, I'm serving Jesus, I'm going to church, I'm getting out of this place that I've been, I'm telling you, you just brace yourself, you're in for a battle. And the reason you're in for a battle is because, listen to me, the devil does not want to let go of you. He has had you living from problem to problem, crisis to crisis, heartache to heartache, despair to despair, and that's been your life, one thing after another, and it has been hell and it has been torment, and the enemy does not want to let go of you. But God is saying this morning, that my grace is greater, and my power is greater, and my blood is greater, and I will bring you out of that place and through the door and through the gate. And in Numbers, when that old king told Balaam, he hired Balaam to curse the people of God, and Balaam could not curse them. And Balaam finally said in Numbers 23:20, behold, I have received a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to know something. What God has done in you, the devil cannot change. What God has done in you cannot be reversed. He has blessed you. Hallelujah. And that don't mean he won't try, but that means you have to stand your ground and say, I'm not leaving this pea patch anymore. I'm standing my ground in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. There are some things you have to do, but God's given you the ground. God's given you the place. And you don't have to keep wallowing in that place you've been in. And so to someone here today, and more than one, God is saying, you're right at the gate, but I'm ready to bring you through into a place of experience with me where you're just not constantly living from problem to problem to problem to problem to problem. I see it all the time. It breaks my heart. And I sometimes, I don't know what to do. But it's just like, we can never get over the hump. I just can't. It's just you're walking short of the promised land. You're walking short of the blessing. And God's been merciful and he will continue to be. But who wants to live that way? Folks, that's no way to live. There's something better. Amen? Now, let's do a little life lesson. And then I'm going to close and we're going to pray. But I want to show you two quick scriptures. I want to confirm what I'm teaching out of the Word of God. I want you to see it in the Word of God. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power has given us all things. You see that? He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Folks, he's given you everything you need. through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. It's a knowledge thing. You need to know it. You may be sitting there saying, I didn't know. Say, I am blessed. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know I was blessed. But you're blessed. God, we just read a verse. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Not a few, not some, all. You're blessed. You're blessed because of the cross. It's been done. But you got to enter into it. And Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. How many of you want to be effective in the kingdom of God? That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge it. You have to see it. God's put all this, God's put grace in you. God's put mercy in you. God's put love in you. God's put joy in you. God's put peace in you. God's put deliverance in you. God's put overcoming power in you. God's put His Holy Spirit in you. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But you have to see it and start walking in it and start walking in a place of blessings. You don't have to live that dependent kind of life with God, but you can live in a place of blessing. And here's the thing about living in a place of blessing. Don't you want to be the person that is handing out blessings rather than the person who is receiving blessings? I'll say that again. Don't you want to be the person that's handing out blessings rather than the person that's receiving blessing? Yes. It's a lot better to be on that side, isn't it? Now, most of us have been on the other side. I have. I've been there when somebody blessed me and I needed a blessing. I needed help. Amen? And that's okay. But I tell you what, it's a joyful thing when you're on the other side and you can give somebody something and bless them. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. So which side do you want to live on? Amen? You want to live on the side where the blessings are so you can bless others because you're blessed. You can give when the offering's being passed at church. You can give when somebody, when we say there's a family that has a need and you can say, you know, I want to help them out because God's been good to me and God's blessed me. Amen? Y'all see what I'm saying? I pray this word takes root in your heart. It's a powerful word. You come into that place, yeah, the manna stops. That's okay. Because there's food growing all around you. Amen? I don't have to depend on that every day. Let's stand together. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Amen.